turned on?
Yep.
Okay, public comment. Anybody? Okay, review of agenda. I'd like to take the Dorman driveway permit off. Jimmy and I didn't get over there to take a look at it. So there's no sense leaving that on there.
Next time.
I don't know whether Cy is coming or not. I sent an email to Frank asking whether he had contacted Cy, and I didn't get a response. So we can leave it on there, but have you got anything ready on town hall deficiencies, John?
I haven't gotten anything back from the meeting, so we can go over that.
Okay.
Stop it here. You can take the slack off, though.
Take the slack off. Okay. So I need to add, we have not adopted highway standards, and Chris Bumps, that should have been done the 1st of September, and I never received any information on that. So let's put in, instead of Dorman permit, highway standards. And Frank wants a donation on there for the FAST squad, and can put that somewhere. I got some information from Tom Leonard on the water situation over here, and we can discuss that a little bit. And grant security system. And roofing, garage, and municipal planning grant. Does anybody anything else that they need to add that we have forgotten?
What did you say before you said roof?
Roofing, garage. That's just an update. That won't take but a minute.
What was the one before that?
Grant for the security system down at the town garage. All those in favor of those changes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good to go. Okay, approval of the 9/4/2019 minutes. Did anybody have any problems with those? Steve? I need a motion.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Approved. Okay, we have accounts payable. We have I'm trying to find the number on this. Accounts payable 19028 for $1,171.38. For $87864.49. That's mostly school or renewal in the Vermont Municipal Association. And payroll 19025 for 8148.66. And I move that we approve those three. One of those is the tax refund. And then just general disbursements. I need a second for that.
Sorry.
Has anybody had time to look those over? Would they like to before they vote on those? Don? I need a second for that. All those in favor of paying out these disbursements?
Aye.
Those opposed? They're approved. Okay, John, you're up for the Howe Hill project.
All right.
Or John and Bob are up for the Howe Hill project.
Yeah. For the record, I'm John Harrington, Horizons Engineering. The town retained us to look at Howe Hill Road and the stretch from Pomp Road up to the town line. It's 1.7 miles. And come up with some recommendations as to treatment and come up with a preliminary cost estimate. So we started, we looked at the soil borings that M&W did back in May. We went and looked at the road condition and the topography and formulated recommendations that we gave to the town. Everybody's got a copy or not, but I've got a few here if you want to look at them. But
I've printed this out. Does anybody want a copy printed? Anybody?
Okay. So, so what we came up with was reclaim the entire 1.7 miles as a minimum and add 4 inches of pavement. That would be like the base work that we'd recommend doing. And then there's all the other work that goes along with it, the shoulder stone and the guardrail. Mold and demold, you see the price there on the second page of what we submitted. We did, so we divided the segment, the 1.7 miles up into six segments. Each one's depending on what conditions we saw, the locations. So basically, on some, as I said, the recommendation was to reclaim the entire 1.7 miles. But there's some sections where we recommend adding 6 inches of dense graded, 2-inch dense graded stone. Some sections we'd recommend adding road stabilization fabric. And we feel like if the town reviews the budget and wants to maybe perhaps cut back, they could. The fabric would be the area where you might cut back on when you look at your budget. We think that if you add the fabric, it's just a way to add longevity to your road. So it's gonna you're gonna get more out of it in the long run, type of thing. But if you don't have the budget now, it might be an area where you just want to do without it. Bob, my father, came up with the treatment type, so he can speak in detail about that.
Just for the record, I guess, I'm Bob Harrington. One thing, the fabric basically gives the road a lot more strength underneath. Some contractors tell you the fabric is worth a foot of gravel or whatever, but it basically spreads the road, the load out, and so that your road won't be so susceptible to wheel ruts and frost heaves. You know, if it starts to move or if water gets up in the base. So We can, I'll go over a little bit. John mentioned we broke the road up into six sections, pretty much going by the condition of the road. The first section is the first, starting with the Pomfret Road, first section would be over to the Hewittville School. We would, besides the reclaim and the pavement, we'd add fabric to that section. The next section from Hewittville School to just before before Trafalgar Square there, we would add fabric and 6 inches of dense graded because we feel the road gets deformed more in that section with more frosties and probably the water table is higher in the springtime in that one section there, so the 6 inches really puts it up. You got to be careful where you add that because you get into problems with driveways and so forth. You can't just add it everywhere, you know, but we feel that should be added there. And then when you do the dense graded, the fabric can be is less expensive because you can lay it on top or put it with a bow mag because you're going to have 10 inches, you're going to have 6 inches of dense graded and 4 inches of pavement on top of that. So it's going to be down 10 inches, so you won't have to. In other places where you do the fabric, you got to take out 8 inches after your bow mag and put it back. They do that either they windrow it off the side of the road and do one half and then the other half, or they got to haul it out and back. But handling material makes the fabric more expensive in those sections. So anyway, the next stretch would be the flat past Robbins to the foot of the hill, and we have just fabric there. And now the hill from the bottom of the hill up to just past Brooks up here, just say just before you get to the top of the hill, we don't feel that needs any fabric in that section because the soils are all the test boring showed real granular depths, good depth of gravel, and then the parent soils are granular, sandy, you know. It's pretty well drained, in other words. So we don't feel that. We feel if you just bow mag it and pave it, that should hold up indefinitely. And it didn't. The other thing is, you know, we watched it. This winter was bad winter last winter, and that didn't deform as much as the other ones where we're proposing a dense graded, you know, on the fabric. So then from there, it's also a bad stretch from just before you pitch over the hill down below Brooks. I guess it's Peter Brooks Jr. or whatever. That section we recommend a dense graded in the fabric on that as well. And then the last, let's see, what did we recommend on, I forgot what we did on S5, John. Yeah, fabric, just fabric on the last section,
yeah.
I guess. So anyway, at minimum, as you know anyway, you got to do the, you got to grind it up and add the pavement, because when the pavement gets all broken up like it is and loses all its strength, then if you just paved over it, and you know this better than I do, I guess, because you worked in paving at the state, but that it'll start cracking within two or 3 years. It's going to start.
You just have the same problem all over again.
Yeah, you just have the same problem all over again, right, basically. And if you just added pavement without doing anything, you'd need 2 inches just to get the road shaped up, you know, and then you should add 4 on top of that. The test borings, how much pavement was there, John, on?
About 4 inches.
About 4 inches.
Which is more than what was, we're doing work for Sharon, too, as I think you know. And
they had about three.
They had about two or three.
Two or
so
three.
We must have maybe over the years leveled ours more.
So, so the point there being that everybody's got their money's worth out of the road because they were put in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere in there. That's when that road was built. And they did a good job on the base, got plenty of gravel. But when you when the road cracks, you lose the top on the road, the water gets down through the pavement, and then when the base is wet, it's like lubricated, and that's when you get the ruts, and so you don't have as much depth of gravel all over the road because it moves around under there. So, but anyway, don't know what questions you guys got. We have a cost table. You can see on the bottom the major items. The reclaim for the 1.7 miles would be $43,000, fabric $90,000, gravel $28,000, and the paving is $358,000. So we added in a $30,000 contingency, would bring this program to $620,000 roughly. We did all that. Like John said, if you don't feel you have the money or you don't want to spend that much, we could prioritize which items we'd recommend you draw or whatever in here.
We're going to do it the right way, and then that fabric does make a bit of a difference.
We originally, I recall from our earlier discussions that we kind of rough cut it at $400,000 anyway, so that's been the ballpark anyway.
Yep.
The 619 actually, we included white lines. I don't think you'll probably do that, but so you can knock $17,000 off there. The other thing, I've got an asterisk down at the bottom. If you did decide to do a contract with Sharon, we estimated it would be approximately $50,000 off from that in savings. Primarily due to the savings in the pavement and the reclaim, the two big items. Probably the fabric too, like that route. But everything's cheaper as you get up there in quantity. You're going to be up over 10,000. How many tons do we have on this? 5120 on for Pomfret segment, and then Sharon's like 7,000, so you're going to be up over 10,000 tons.
Yeah. And the other thing that we do is pull in some bigger contractors, probably, that, you know, and the prices just get lower when you got more quantity like that. So, so the paving and the reclaim roughly is your $400,000, mm-hmm. if that's all you did. So
right.
If you add another $200 to it, or a little less than $200, that's where you get the extra structural support for the road so that it doesn't get as deformed and frost-heavy if you let it go. Paving's only good for, let's say, 7 years. It starts to deteriorate, and you really should get a cap on your roads every 7 to 10 years. Have some kind of program, and by a cap, it's usually an inch and a half of paving. You know, if you do that every 7 to 10 years, get some kind of program that way, your roads will last longer without getting deformed. But this would give you a good road with a good base. We've in the past used the fabric and the dense graded, but we've used the fabric several places in town, and the roads today will hold up even if they crack. One is a stage road from Boynton's, where Boynton used to live up there, and I think that's still doing pretty good, and that was a mess when we did it. It was like,
yeah, that was bad.
Did it down there, right on the hill, on the air. stretch. Down this.
And then the whole big hill we did.
You did it, didn't you do it on the stretch from Mrs. Semple's hub?
Yep.
Actually, the whole
we laid it in.
Yeah.
Did it on the whole flat, did we do that?
Yeah. They did the wall of it too, from Sugar House Road down, and that road's really held up.
Yeah, from Booth Tuttle's down, yeah. But, anyway.
The hot wheel's getting worse every day. I mean, it has deteriorated significantly just since the spring. I mean, it's really...
Yeah, it's mess, for sure.
It's not a question.
But Sharon's is too, so it's...
Well, at least we match.
Yeah, at least you match.
Well, Sharon makes our side look good, so.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, well, think of it as, I think it would probably save some money, too, if we said we could close the road, you know, maybe for a week or two during the day, from a certain time, close the road anyway, something to consider, to through traffic, you know. Sharon closed it, I know, for a week from 8 to 4.
I think if we give people enough headway, that
it what?
I said if you give people enough,
notification
that it's going to be closed during these times through traffic. Obviously, residents that are living there, you've got to be a little more accommodating. But
right, yeah.
Did Sharon schedule their bond vote yet?
No, October 24th. I'm told.
Okay, so in time to get that bid out earlier. You had recommended to get the bid out earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, over the winter.
Yeah.
Early.
So we'll know what the bond result is by the time we need to get an RFP out.
Yeah, but even if they don't bond it, we really can't let it go any longer. We may not reap that savings.
No, I know that, but it would make sense for us not to put the RFP out on the street until we know. I mean, we'll know. I mean, we'll have time, so it doesn't...
Yeah, you probably ought to know by the end of October.
Yeah, we're not going to get an RFP out in the next month anyway.
Best time to take a bid in is like January, February.
Yeah. Well, Pike said that if we got it out in January, they'd be fine.
Yeah.
That's when they're leanest, and that's when they want to get some work booked up. So
We've
got plenty of time to do that with Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get it ready.
Yep.
Just put it out then. He suggested not. He said put them out together. What Caleb said, well, when I discussed it with him, he said put them out together and stipulate that both projects have got to be done at the same time, but do individual RFPs. Don't do a joint RFP, because that just complicates the issue as to dividing up the various things that are happening on the various mileages. But he said...
Oh, yeah.
He said, you know, put it in the RFP that you're doing this in conjunction with Sharon.
Right.
This is Pomfret's RFP, this is Sharon's RFP, so that you reap that benefit of the savings of getting them both in there, and they've got to be timed.
Keep the contract separate.
That's what he was suggesting the last time I touched base with him, but I'll be honest, I haven't touched base for a while.
I wonder if maybe a downside to that is the contractor bidding on it doesn't have a guarantee that they'll have both jobs.
Yeah.
But
well, that's a consideration.
So they might add more to their bid to cover that risk, you know. But
maybe you could do it both. Maybe you can just bid the entire thing and just tell the contractor he's got to break it out.
Right.
You know,
right,
give me a total, but tell me how much is Pomfret and how much is Sharon, and then you'll know.
They can manage it.
Maybe you want to talk to Caleb about it and see how he would like to see him come in. I assume he'll bid on it if it's a big enough job that they would bid. How many different kinds of vendors are there that do this kind of reclaiming and everything? I mean, a Springfield Paving isn't going to do this, or Sunbury Paving.
No, but just your Pike and Pike and Wickham and Gorman, and I don't know, there's probably five or six of them that with a job this big, we might bid on it.
It might not. It might be. There's enough other work besides paving, so you might get some. Especially if you do the whole thing, you'll get earthwork contractors bidding on, like Basin Brothers. You see them on Erie State. Mm-hmm. Be nice to get a bid out of them because they do excellent work. And but they, you know, it's got to be big enough for them to take a look at, which it would be. You know, so you might, and then they sub the bike or whoever. They get the lowest paving, you know. Or it might be, you know, it's big enough where you get both, you know, if you did both. That's, you'd have more competition, you know, which brings the price down, you know. But you got plenty of time, that's good, you know, do it next year.
Well, it'd be good to get it done earlier rather than later, too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could close. I don't know why we couldn't close the road. I mean, when the power lines were on it there for a week, after the first day or two, people stopped coming. They seemed to survive. They may not have liked it, but they survived it.
It's not like there's not another way around. I mean, wait 10 minutes earlier and you're fine.
Even if you close it part-time even. I mean, if you close it all the time, it'd be better, but let's say you close it from 10 to 4 even, you know, and just put signs up. That way people going to work and coming home would know. Might something like that might go over better, but we're only talking, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to where you'd have to close the road. But the other...
There wouldn't be quite so much traffic control involved in the stuff either,
would there? No. And it would be safer too, you know, less traffic.
It certainly reduces the price, less traffic control you have to have. Yeah. I mean, it's about $1,000 a setup a day, so.
The one thing, you know, John mentioned, you don't have to do the white lines. We've got shoulder stone. Your sides are going to be down, you know, 4 inches or 10 inches or whatever, so. That should be an item. And then the guardrails going up the hill there, and I was talking with Jim earlier, but I think before they did take the guardrails right up and put them back afterwards, because they're going to end up down too low, so they either got to do something with them. You know, they can reuse them, but they'll
there
have
is
to
a standard,
be.
Right? There is a standard.
Yeah, it's 30 inches. It's 29 to 31. That's the tolerance.
I know what they did down there on that end of town. There was 6-foot posts, if memory serves me right, that were, and they had to be a foot longer. But they credited us for the 6-footers and took ours for them, and just we had some, you know.
Put in 8 or 8 foot.
I don't know what they were on.
I think when you're on steep slopes, you got to go along
the bank down by the brook down there.
Oh, yeah.
A little Starbucks down to the desert.
Yeah. So there is some expense in guardrails, in other words.
We've got a separate fund for that, though. Right?
Wouldn't go far up there.
No, it wouldn't. That's true.
So our next steps would be to get input from the town or whoever and come up with a final plan. Sorry. develop the bid documents. We're contracted to do the bid documents and help with the contractor's selection and whatnot.
And you've been working with Sharon, too, on helping them with the spec as well, right?
Yep, we're at about the same stage with Sharon as we are with Pomfret. Yeah, I may go meet with them. We already gave them our recommendations along the lines of what these are. And,
right.
Probably go meet with them sometime in the near future.
Yeah, so we should, I mean, it doesn't have to be a perfect match anyway, but we can get the specs somewhat aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And then draft up the RFPs. So.
Yep.
Figure out what's required, what's optional.
Yep.
Right, right.
Yeah, you can option bid items too.
Right.
Just to see where things, yeah. If it comes in really good and you can budget for it,
yeah.
And include it.
Good.
The soils were, all in all, they were good under the road there. They met the V-Trans spec in all but two or three of them. They had a little bit, I think up near the top of the hill maybe, it had more fines, a little bit more fines than what the spec said, so.
That was all top of the hill?
I believe so, or maybe just over the side.
Just down over the side.
So number 12 near Pomfret sign at the towards the town line is where they hit the finer soils. They weren't that much finer. They were like the spec, the V-Trans spec is 12% on the 100, and they were at 13.7, and what is it? I think it's 5% maybe for the 200, and they're at 7%. So, I mean, it wasn't that far out of whack. So, got some good gravel under there. Decent, but was it down like 2 feet?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much 2 feet gravel.
Your father would be pretty pleased, wouldn't he?
I think so. He built it. He ought to be.
I think he'd be pretty pleased.
Yeah.
It's held up well for him.
It's held up good.
So, does the board want to do... Do you want to make a decision now as to what you want to do? You want to think about this? What's your preference here? You want...
what is it we would do now?
Well, we've got to decide whether we're going to do the whole job, part of the job, none of the job. And that being said... we need to get an RFP written for this, and that requires John and or Bob to do that. And so we're going to have to make that decision as to whether we wanted a whole job as they presented, whether you want to cut something out now, whether you want to see how the bids come in.
Okay, can we do that when we start drafting the RFP? I think that would be the better time to decide what's going to be in it or not. I don't know that we're in a position. We should. I would think we should start drafting the RFP. And as we're drafting it, we can figure out what we want to have as mandatory, what we want to have as optional, if anything, and start working on it. But I think we want to do the project. But the only question is whether we go solo or go with Sharon, depending on that vote turns out. But I think we're going to go forward one way or another. Right? I think we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, the only thing that would make a big difference in drafting the RFP would be, you know, your total project cost. How much do you want to spend, or how much have you got? You know, I mean, if you just don't have the money, or you don't want to bond the money, or then. We design this with you around what money you've got. But if you want to do this project, and we know what you want to do, if you want to do spend less than $690, I guess, or around thereabouts, if you want to spend less than that, then if you tell us, we'll go back and take a look at where we could.
There we have $200,000. That was not used in paving from last year's budget. We'll use the $200,000 in this current year's budget. Then we're going to build next year's budget, and that probably will have at least $200,000 in it. That's what we've been putting into paving. Theoretically, we should be due for a paving grant. There's no guarantees, but we're low on the list at this point. And we would have $400,000 stashed away by, once that new money comes in, the first of July, and I think there's a small amount in the paving CD, but not much. The paving reserve, but not very much. I don't see that on this list. Anyway, so my personal feeling is that lasted awfully well for us, and it's time to rebuild it. And I personally think you don't get very far by cutting things out that really are necessary. I'd like to see it last another 30 years if we took care of it and top coated it. And I think being cheap on this end, when you got to tear it all up and start over, is kind of a fool's errand. Even if we had to borrow some money, or we had to up that paving amount in the budget for this next year.
Town would be far better off financially if we do it right now.
And so my feeling would be write the paving RFP as you have presented the job, and we'll plan accordingly with the budget. I wouldn't start cutting stuff out. I think that we've gotten a lot of value out of it. It's lasted really well, but there's a time to start over, and the time is to do it right. You do a half-baked job, and you're going to pay for it 10 years, 15 years down the road. Now, that's just my opinion. And so I would make a motion that we have you do the RFP as you have presented the project, and get it ready so that when Sharon gets their vote, we can determine whether we're going to go it alone or go it together, and have you guys talk to Pike and see how you'd want to arrange that RFP, whether you want to do it together, or how that's going to work best for the bidders that are there. So I'd make that motion.
Yeah, the thing I would change is take the white lines out of it.
I would take the white lines out.
I'm not going to do that.
I don't have any objection to doing it right. The only thing that is a little bit problematic in voting on something that we don't have the money for right now, and I don't know whether we've done the financial analysis, is it's fine to vote on a standard that we want to do the job at. But we also need to do some analysis of how we're going to pay for it, because this is going to have a potential budgetary impact. Voters are going to, we don't have the money now, is the issue. And if the money were sitting in a reserve fund right now, the select board would have complete authority to make the expenditure and be a done deal. But because we're potentially committing ourselves to spending money that we don't have, we need a plan for figuring out how we're going to get that money. And that could be the next year's budget. It could be borrowing money, as Emily has said. But we would need to, I would feel better if we figured that out, like how are we going to pay for it. I don't have a problem committing to the standard, but I think we also need to do it in conjunction with figuring out how we're going to pay for it, whether we're going to borrow money, whether we're going to bond it. But right now we don't have, if we spec it to 600 and some odd thousand, and we only have 200 at our disposal, that's 400 plus grand we need to go and figure out how we're going to come up with. And it's not money that the select board has authority over. So we're essentially committing ourselves to spending money that we don't have the authority to raise.
We're not committing ourselves to spending money. We're committing ourselves to put out an RFP. Even if we put out an RFP, we can reject it if we don't have the money, or we don't feel we're going to get the money.
Well, that's
we're only saying we want to put an RFP out to try and get a job done. We aren't committing or signing on the dotted line for any contract whatsoever.
We won't know if we're going to have the money unless we have a special town meeting until after we need to have this RFP out anyways. So.
Well, I mean, you think about what Sharon's doing, right? Sharon's figured out that they don't have the money either, and they are doing a bond vote too. So they're doing both. They're going through the process of figuring out the RFP, but also figuring out how to get the money. And we may find ourselves in the same boat. We may find ourselves in the place where we have to do a special town meeting too.
Just a couple of thoughts is I mean, I think maybe we need to start work on both. I mean, we need to start work on the RFP, and you guys can zero in on how much money you got now. Sounds like you got 400,000 and maybe another 75 if you get the grant. I don't know, but the other thought I had was what you could do if you don't have the 700,000 thereabout is we could take a section of road that's, let's say, the best section of road, you know, that we saw this winter that held up the best, like across the flat from by Robbins or something, and just maybe just do an inch and a half on that just to cap it for two or three and let that go. Like it should hold up for about 3 years, you know, and then come back, plan on coming back and doing it. You know, we take that percentage. That's one way to do it, you know. But it's up to you guys.
Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, but you start breaking it up like that, by the time you get this road done the way it should be, the way you're talking here, instead of 600,000, you're going to be talking $1 million.
You start
piecemealing it. It's going to cost more.
Yeah. Okay. When you go back and do it, it'll cost a third more.
I guess all I'm saying is it seems a little bit ass backwards to put an RP on the street and not know how we're going to pay for it. So if we're going to go that route, we should start figuring out how we're going to pay for it. So, I mean, it's fine to vote on the spec today. I don't have a problem with that. But we should also be talking about how we're going to fund it and what our money situation is.
Right. Well, the RFP wouldn't go out until a request for a bid.
RFP wouldn't
go out until January anyway. And then before it goes out, you guys and us need to know you got this money or you can get this money or what, how are you going to pay for it?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the RFP, we're talking a couple, 2 to 3 weeks out on the street, right? So
let's give them a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, by the time we put an RFP on the street, we've got to have a money source identified by then because we're going to open bids and we have to choose. And if we don't have a money source pinned down by then.
Well, I mean, you're not locked in, like Emily said, you're not locked in until you actually sign that contract, you know.
Right.
You can accept or reject any and all bids and put it right in that thing. So
the point is, if you want to get the job done, the point is we need to get organized to get an RFP put together.
Right.
Whether it's just for us or whether it's in combination with Sharon and how that's going to happen. I do believe the conference will support a funding item to pay for this road. I think there are enough conference residents that pound over that day in and day out that are really sick of it. You don't know how many people have come to me and said, when are you going to fix Howe Hill? When are you going to fix Howe Hill?
So
I think we need to, personally, I feel we need to get the RFP, get started getting it together. We've already hired John to do that, and I think that's what we should have him do. I personally don't believe we should shortchange it. If we're going to do it, we do a good job, and I do believe that we're going to be starting on the budget in a couple of weeks, and then our finances will become much clearer way before we even put the RFP out.
I guess there's two ways that you can do it, or three, I suppose. You could put another 400,000, say, into the budget for next year to cover the total cost and hope the town covers it. You could continue with the 200,000 and then have a bond for another 200,000 and hope that all passes at town meeting to fund it, or you borrow 400,000 or have a bond vote now for 400,000 to make sure that you're going to cover it, have an early town meeting, a special town meeting. But I would think you could just do one of the two former and be okay.
It seems like if you've got 400 and something thousand
in the, that you've already committed to, if you do the same as last budget next year, the same as you did this year, which seems to be a standard that you've had for years, you're only a couple hundred thousand at the most. If you take the white lines off, it's better. But there's no guarantee that Bobby's figures of 650 are right. It could come in, your bid could come in at 550, or it could come in at 750. Mm-hmm. So no matter what kind of a bond you get or commitment it is, there's no guarantee that the number is going to equal what Bobby said it would equal. You have no idea what they're going to bid. So it could be less or it could be more.
But we've been traditionally been putting 200,000 in the budget for paving.
Yeah.
We've already got 200,000 sitting there, and I think we're a long way toward getting the project done. So I'm going to suggest that we... was there a second on that motion?
What's the motion?
The motion was to get them to put out work on an RFP for the project as they proposed.
Minus the white lines.
Minus the white lines.
Second that.
Any more discussion?
So are we voting on the specific content of the RFP or just to start working on the RFP?
We're going to... this. I made the motion to work on an RFP as the proposal was submitted. So to do the job and do it right.
Obviously, it'll be submitted to us for us to approve it. So.
All right, so we still have an approval step in here.
I would assume, right?
No, we're just having them work on it.
Right. But we will approve the final draft.
We'll have to approve the final draft.
Well, that's
we're not approving the draft. We're just approving them to get it started. Is everybody ready for the discussion over? All those in favor of that motion, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Have a good time, guys. Thank you. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. If you
yeah,
want.
I'm sure we are.
We don't want you feeling have to leave.
I've been here enough. But have a good time. Take care, Bob. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we now
thanks.
Have.
Thanks, Joel.
Lost my agenda.
Oh,
I think I got it.
Yeah.
Nick, you're on up next.
Great. Thank you for having me back. So, Regional Energy Coordinator, you're the second select board I've been to with a solid member. The first one was Stratford, and they voted unanimously to. Participate. So at this stage, I have a dollar number that I'm looking to be drafted into your budget. It's not a commitment to sign. You're not signing a contract. It would be adding a line item to your draft budget. If it passes town meeting day, Two Rivers would come back with an actual contract and bylaws and hammer all the details out. If all seven towns sign that, then the staff position would start on July 1st of 2020. I think the first time I came here, the cost estimate was much higher than it is now. They lowered it by about $43,000. So Pomfret's share would be just over $10,000. The draft I sent to you, I don't know if you all got a copy. It's pretty much the same as the draft a month or so ago. I added in some opinions from the Hartford Energy Coordinator and from a regional energy coordinator working in New Hampshire about their experiences and the impact they're having. So that is the short version. The job description is about the same as it was. The timeline I just explained. So. If you have any questions or...
I got one question. How did you happen to pick the towns that are in there? And how did Pomfret... How did you happen to pick, or why did you pick Pomfret? What did you pick with that? What was your criteria for that?
Right, so this is, so the idea started in Norwich and Bedford because their energy committees felt like they were at capacity. And we started looking at what would be most cost-effective, what would be most efficient, and it was clear that two towns wasn't enough. So we expanded it to cover a house district, which included Stratford and Sharon. And again, the feedback was, this isn't affordable, it's not covering enough towns, we're worried about being spread too thin on it. So when it came towards adding more towns, we went towards Woodstock because that's where Two Rivers office is, and because it's geographically contiguous, so all the towns are connected geographically. It's centered around the Two Rivers office.
Question, if you don't get all the towns to commit that you've got on your list, are you going to go back and pick more of the catchment area that Two Rivers has and try to get some from those in order to get your $117,000?
At this point, I don't think there's enough time before budget season to do that. Okay. So unless all seven towns jump on board in some degree now, then my suspicion is that it might fall apart. Okay. So it depends on all seven towns sort of agreeing at this stage that they want to move forward.
I guess my question with Concord is that I know there's a lot of things that you've got in your proposal other than the solar, but in order to meet the Vermont energy standards, I would think you might want to consider getting towns that have the industrial sites and capabilities and landscape to put them in Concord. Solar facilities are, and this is the town plan, are prohibited in the following locations: floodways, erosion hazard areas, wetlands, and so forth. But it says there's very little agriculture or forest land protected, or the amount of prime land is not related to much of land is important because of the classification. And so basically they don't want the solar in hay fields, pastures, or in that area because of the land. And there was one situation in East Barnard where some common came in and convinced a landowner that it was a good deal, and it turned out that it was a real good deal for the investors, but it wasn't a good deal for the landowner. And the townspeople were up in arms, and after several hearings, finally Sun Common withdrew the whole thing and got out of town. So I guess I just don't see it. And your commitment is for $10,000 for, it's a 3-year commitment that you've been looking for, so it's $30,000, not 10. And so it would seem to me if the town plan doesn't want it, the residents don't want it, why would they spend the money to go after solar installations?
So siting solar in fields or other clearings, which is the energy coordinator would not be doing that
why would we spend the money for
solar? So that's a very small, so solar is a very small portion of what their dome description would cover. It really depends on the needs of the town. I believe Pomfret does not have an energy committee. Or you might.
I think there was a informal one for a while, but I don't know if there was ever a town informal one.
Yeah.
Norwood was doing some stuff.
One of the issues now is that state law is requiring enhanced energy chapters in your town plan, and even towns that have energy committees are struggling to write these because they don't have the expertise or capacity to understand Vermont's statute. They're not lawyers, they're not legislators. So an energy coordinator would help.
We just did our town plan in 2016, and we spent a lot of time on the energy on that. And even Two Rivers regional plan that's going to be adopted soon even makes a comment that Two Rivers will help interested towns meet the standards. And so, you know, in our case, you know, there's a place for shopping in White River and Hartford and in that sort of area. Pomfret doesn't have large supermarkets here. So there's probably a place in the region for the kind of things that you need to do, like Sharon and other places where they've done a great job on solar, but Pomfret's not one of those.
So again, that's a very small fraction of what this position would cover. So it's everything from solar to weatherization to LEDs to seeing where you're spending money that you don't need to be spending, to bringing in grant money, to looking at transportation, to helping with the energy chapter if you need it. Two Rivers tried to help our town with our energy chapter, and yes, they helped, but it's very complicated. To ask volunteers to draft that is a lot. So the job description covers a very wide range of things. It doesn't mean they're doing everything for every town. It's what that town needs. And the needs of Pomfret might be different from Stratford. It might not be solar in Pomfret. It might be something else.
Well, one thing in solar, it does mention in the town plan that we prefer solar on rooftops, and if they can't go on a rooftop pole mounted, but less than 10 kW, and it has to be screened. So, and a lot of people have been voluntarily, those that are interested have been doing it. So I guess, and a lot of competitors are knocking on doors to get that job done. So I guess I don't really see the need to coordinate either. Either they're going to get it done, or not. I don't know what do they need to do.
So residential solar is in a completely different category than what this is. It's starting primarily with municipal government and schools and other organizations that receive public funding, helping residents and businesses as sort of, if they have time, they're there to provide resources, but it's really
I'll be quiet. I suppose it makes my comments. You're talking to the board, not so much me, but anyway.
Well, I was going to say, do you really know how many businesses there are in Pomfret?
Probably not as many as Hartford, but the Hartford.
No. So, in other words, you do not know how many businesses there are in Pomfret.
I know there's a small handful. I don't know all seven towns extremely well.
If you're asking us to put up $10,000 for 3 years for something that we don't want.
So businesses are not the primary target here. A lot of it, again, is more about transportation and regional.
Transportation, we all got vehicles. We drive anywhere we need to go. It's... I'm sorry, it's nothing personal, but 99.9% of the people here in Pomfret, we don't want to see them solar panels, whether they're on a roof or whatever.
This position would not be...
An LED light, I absolutely refuse to have them in my house.
You wouldn't be putting them in your house.
Because you flip the switch, they don't come on for half an hour. I want a light that you flip the switch and it comes on.
It is geographically coordinated, as you mentioned.
And like I said, it's nothing personal on you, but just...
This energy coordinator would not be making you put LEDs in your house or solar on your... I mean, that's private property. It's not what's being discussed. So it's not telling residents what to do at all.
But businesses...
It's not telling... So it's not telling private property what to do.
So how is Pomfret going to benefit from any of this? Because all your businesses in town are private businesses. All your houses in town are private residents.
Yep, so if you look at the money the town is spending right now on energy-related things, whether it's the lighting in here or the heating...
No, see, that's where you're wrong, because it's not the town, it's individual people. I mean, for this building and the two other buildings that the town owns, I think we can afford to pay the bills.
Does the board have any questions for Nick?
I think most people are missing the point of what he's trying to do.
What's the point, John?
Have you read this? So, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't sit there and argue about something that you don't have any clue about. If you read it, you want to make all these points, and it's an educated point, I think that's fine. But honestly, it's gone far enough. And I haven't thoroughly read through it myself, but
it's providing a resource for those people that are interested that want to do more, a place to go. Am I right? That's coordinating things that and options for people that are out there that want to get involved in this. And I mean, it's where we're going to be at, whether it's tomorrow or 20 years from now, but this is something that's going to happen whether you believe in any of anything with our energy situation that we have in the world, but it's something where it's going to go. So
any other board comment? Anybody want to make a motion or not? I feel that I can't justify, personally, I can't justify the money on this at this particular point. I think that I can't justify it. You know, the town plan, people got pretty upset with the solar, and there was another one down in North Pomfret. The infrastructure isn't there to support it, the electric lines.
I don't think we're talking about putting solar arrays in town. I think it's more of the rooftop backyard solar array that the person wants to have for their own. And I know what the town plan says, but I think the town would have to be hard-pressed to tell somebody that if they want to put a 15 kilowatt system in, not on their roof in their backyard, because they use that much, I think the town would have a pretty hard time telling them that they can't do that. And this is we're getting into the weeds here, but there's a lot of NIMBY syndrome here.
I do think that there's a lot of resources that are available. Green Mountain Power will help you with energy efficient audits, those kinds of things, as an individual, and if we're trying to help the individuals and even businesses, they will come and do those things for next to nothing and help you become sufficient. And I can't personally justify $10,000 commitment for 3 years for something that I think that is pretty much available. Now, that's just my opinion, but I will entertain any motion that someone wishes to put on the floor.
Do you mind if I respond to that?
Sure.
Your concern? Just a couple points. One, the Hartford Energy Coordinator has found ways to bring new money into town and to bring savings to the town, so the capital T town, that is essentially covering their position. So you see the $10,000, by the end of that 3 years, it might be half that or a third that. The other thing, when you look at what this is costing on a house that's appraised at $250,000, it's about $10. And again, the coordinator is more focusing at the municipal level. They're not going around helping individuals get solar or not get solar. What we're seeing right now is that state law is changing faster than people writing town plans can come up with. And so towns that aren't compliant with these new laws are starting to lose lawsuits related to siting solar. So this is a resource to the town to make sure you're compliant with the latest laws, to make sure you're bringing in grant money, to make sure you're not spending more than you should, to make sure you're not getting ripped off by utility companies. So there's a lot going on than just putting solar on roofs and not putting solar on roofs. There's a lot of technical compliance stuff that even with a town manager in our town, it's hard to keep up with all the changes that are happening at the state level. So it's more of a municipal resource. It's not a, yes, there's a lot of resources and companies and everything for individuals. Town government doesn't really have, yes, there's Two Rivers, but Two Rivers doesn't have an energy-specific resource for towns. There's some, you know, natural resources, but again, they're not going to come down and help you figure out compliance or help you figure out a siting issue or something in the town plan that leads to a lawsuit. So there's a lot of things that towns are slowly starting to get behind on, just in terms of the behind-the-scenes legalese that the public doesn't have to see.
Back to my point of the town plan limiting a personal solar array to a 10 kilowatt system. It's like, you know, can they do that, and how long will they be able to do that? What happens when the person that wants to put the 20K system in sues the town? The town just spent $20,000 in legal fees because they had it in the town plan when, in fact, that wasn't even legal to start it. So,
we don't have a prohibition, just to be clear. The town plan doesn't have a, we can't not legally have a prohibition. It does express a preference, but it doesn't. It doesn't express a prohibition.
Yeah, the laws are changing almost every session now in regards to this, and it's towns that don't have that resource are struggling to keep up, and it's making them more and more vulnerable, which is part of why this was brought up in our towns originally, is because we can't keep up even with an energy committee and a town manager. There's just a lot happening at the state level that towns don't have the resources to deal with. So it's not like going to Green Mountain Power and asking for help with these things, because Green Mountain Power is not it's not a legislative interpretation. You know, they're not there to interpret legislation or help you with interpreting legislation. It's not their function. You know, if you're putting solar on your residential house, that's one thing, but if you're trying to run town government, you need different resources. So in the scope of things, $10 on your property tax bill isn't huge. $10,000 is less than replacing most culverts. And the more a town gets behind on these issues, the more it's going to start costing in the long run, whether it's through lawsuits or not being compliant with other laws. There's the enhanced energy law that passed in 2016 that's finally coming down. It's a lot to go through. And right now it's optional, but it is attached to incentives. It gives you differential treatment in lawsuits. There's benefits to adopting it. It's complex to adopt. So having a professional that is versed in all of this is a huge resource to the town. It's not so that they're not going around with residents and trying to sell solar panels door to door. That's not the function.
I still need a motion.
So, Nick, how what's your last conversation with Two Rivers on this? They're behind this, right? It's Two Rivers?
Two Rivers is behind it. So what they're looking for right now is that the seven towns are willing to fund this, and then they're going to see if those seven budgets pass on town meeting day, and then come back with a formal contract to start the position. So they're behind it, but they can't do anything until they're engaged in a contract negotiation process, and that can't start until there's money for it. So passing something now is just putting $10,000 in 1 year's budget. If it doesn't pass town meeting day, or it does pass town meeting day, and the select board next spring says, you know, we have this $10,000, but we decided we really hate the contract, you can then not sign the contract and not spend that. So it's not binding you to the contract. It's preparing you to participate, giving you the option to participate next spring. Ultimately, it's the voters on town meeting day that they're going to decide if that money's made available for it. So nothing here is a commitment or a...
Right. So all we're doing is voting on whether to put it in the budget or not.
Put it in the budget and let people
vote. Let voters decide, yeah.
So.
I'd be in favor of that. I mean, why not let voters be able to...
Well, because we don't do a line item budget, Scott.
Sure we do.
No, we don't.
Look, you can. You can zero. Voters can vote to amend. So we can either, when we present the budget, we can speak to this issue and say, hey, when we speak to the budget in general, we can call out this particular line item and say, we put this in here. If people object, the budget can be amended at town meeting day. People feel that strongly about it. Nothing stopping us from.
I guess I would like to see what the other how much money we're going to spend elsewhere before I committed to anything personally. I mean, $10,000 is $10,000. It's.
We just talked about spending $600 plus grand on paving. That kind of pales in comparison to $10,000 on
every single individual that runs that road runs on the paving. That's infrastructure, isn't it?
So, I mean, we're making that, but I guess what you're saying is that this...
I'll make a motion that we add the $10,379.16 to our budget, and I think that there are enough people in this town that this is important to them, and so I think they ought to have the option of choosing whether at town meeting whether they support it or not. So,
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No.
You said, when,
I said, all right.
Yes, so how are you?
Carried. Okay, moving on. Road foreman report.
I talked to the guy, the paving guy today. He called me today. He won't be here until the 1st of October. Told him temperatures are changing, weather's changing. But he said he got put behind. He's going to put a new screed on his paver. That's going to take him pretty near a week. And he's finishing up in Springfield as we speak. And he's doing that, and then we're the next. And I says, Mr. Darren, I want to hold your feet to the fire. And he goes, I'll be there.
Okay.
So I've reached out to Nikon. That guy, I'm still waiting for him to call me back about the crack sealant.
I saw them in Sharon last week.
What's that?
I saw Nikon up in Sharon last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
No good. Yeah, no, they haven't called me back. I called 2 weeks ago, and she was going to pass the message on to him, and then I called his cell phone today, and I called her back, the office back, and she goes, well, he's real busy, but he will be calling. And I said, okay. So, Keith Sawyer got the blacktop all mowed.
Great.
Harold Swift, and we'd like to mow roadsides with the tractor. I have not responded back to him or anything like that. He had called me today, left me a message. I just fear that we can't get different people in the National Ballpark for him now.
All right, so wait a minute. Keith has done the main road.
Yep.
And is he going to keep working on the back roads?
Yep, he's going to work. Still do it 2 days a week.
Okay, and so Swank wants to run our tractor?
Yep.
To do what?
To mow road signs. I don't know any of his experience. I don't know any of them. But
I would think you'd leave it at Keith, but that's just my opinion.
And the way he left the message was that he would voluntarily like to come in and mow or something like that. But I haven't called back. I didn't want to go over there until I talked to the board.
Whoever's doing it, you got to have them under some kind of a payroll so that they're covered by workman's comp. So,
if they're in our tractor, they've got to be. Yeah, you can't just let them take off the tractor. There would be no insurance coverage. There would be no anything if they are on payroll.
Right.
If they, you know, cut off a hand or something, we'd be liable.
It's great that people want to help out, but the unfortunities of our society that you just can't just let people volunteer like that.
Ona?
You're talking about Spencer?
Harold.
Harold.
Harold. Oh. was going to say, what if they came in and used their own tractor and mower? How does that...
It's still a liability issue there. We did let a member of town do that earlier, and I think that that was great. And I don't know if there's more or less issue with stuff with a personal person doing it with their personal equipment. They have no of their own personal equipment that would do anything with the side of the road because their mowers are on the back of the tractors anyway. So.
Well, not necessarily.
I certainly wouldn't have anybody in the tractor unless I hired them. I think we're laying ourselves wide open to a problem if we do that.
Yeah.
Personally. I think liability-wise, we're just in big trouble. So I wouldn't do that. And
we advertised for it, and there was no interest, and we moved on. And while there was interest, because Keith... And we made our decision for him to do that. So I think
Keith's working at it a couple days a week, and you're still on 4-day weeks anyway, and you kind of want to be around when he's running the machines. I think I'd let it go with that.
I think the job is still posted on the website.
I know that. I was going to have Becky take that on. I noticed that today.
Where this is coming from. Yeah.
But I'll get Becky to take that on. I meant to speak to her today about it.
Just I'll respond back to her.
But if he wants to mow all the roadsides that he owns, he's perfectly able to do that. He's got quite a few weeds on his own land that he could take care of if he so chose.
I don't think I'll go there with him, but I'll just let him know that
he... I think Johnny already harassed him about it anyway. But what else you got?
See, so I took care of that. Kelly Spear is living at the end of A-Frame Road. She reached out to me wanting to know if we would be interested in putting up a dead end road at the bottom.
That'd be a good idea.
All traffic.
Obviously anybody that wants to drive up there is
legally, what's that?
Anybody that wants to drive up there is legally allowed to, but it wouldn't hurt to have a dead end sign there so people know that it's not going anywhere.
Is that still a trail up through there?
I believe so.
Yes. But the road itself is still a dead end. But it is a town trail, so I guess if somebody wants to park off the travel portion, they can still do that and go for a walk. But
they have one over on my pastures.
I saw that. Any feeling, anybody?
I don't have a problem with it.
Get a dead end sign. And we've got to get some pedestrian signs. We need 5 pedestrian signs. What were you going to put on the bottom of those?
A head. Is there a head?
Like the ones that are down by the church? But that says 500 feet.
The one that's down by Mount Tom, it says pedestrians ahead. There's
a head instead of 500 feet on the bottom, right?
Ahead, A-A-G-A-D, ahead.
How many?
5.
I think I might have a picture of it in here somewhere. I'll find that for you.
I'll send it to you.
Donnie will send it to you.
Cambridge Street, we got that pretty much wrapped up. We'll go up tomorrow. Scott Jensen called me. He's very happy with what we've done up there. He said, continue on. I just told him when I spoke to him before he went up, told him the only thing I really had left to do was see him mulch it. And then there was that 20-foot apron and stuff on the upper end that I was very confused on that I didn't think was going to work. And he went up and called me up and he goes, no, you're right, it's not going to work. Seed it, mulch it, and clean it up, and get out of there. So
when you get done with that, I think you need some pictures for that grant, probably.
Yeah, we took some pictures as we went. So, yeah. We got that one done, and then we're over on Webster Hill now, doing that project. So, two collects in there today, do another one there tomorrow, and start working on the stone conservatorium.
That's good. What else you got? Anything?
Really?
Okay, truck bids.
Did they start on 12?
That?
Did they start on 12?
Oh, yeah. Nope, they did. He started on there last Wednesday, and then he kind of disappeared. But he's back now. They found ledge, so they had to move the down 5 feet. Horizon there and him there. They worked it out and moved it down 5 feet. He's supposed to be boring it and taking it. And I think tomorrow it's starting to form it up. So he said the 25th he'd have the multi-bladed. So.
Been going around?
I don't believe it, no. I was down there yesterday.
Down to the western start.
Lost my Manchester. It's all the smell now, lost my taste. And mix it parts. I'm losing my hearing.
Old now.
But yeah, like they treated me.
We've had four of them call out at work.
Yeah. I've had it for 4 months.
Wow.
Damn near.
So I don't know if we want to do this. We probably should just announce it.
I've been on quite a few times.
Put the bids in and then...
Yeah, because we have to call in. Call in.
Yeah.
We're not... It'll take us a while. So
why don't you announce the bids?
So,
I don't know whether you want to announce the price or not.
No.
You can't tell, maybe.
Truck Center?
Yep. Clark's Truck Center. And then ATG.
Yeah, sent two bids.
Sent two bids.
Where are they located?
Jericho.
ATG.
Westminster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot here. What manufacturer are the two trucks, or are they the same?
Clark's is international.
This one's Western Center.
This one's Freightliner.
What did you say, Scott?
Western Star.
So, are we going to analyze those bids at a later date, or at the end of the meeting, or?
Yeah, I think we need to appoint two people to collate the collate the bids and put together kind of a...
Would you and John like to do that, Steve, seeing that you're responsible for the bids?
We could do that, and maybe even include Jimmy in it.
Yeah.
More
that still doesn't constitute a meeting, and that's good.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you, Scott?
Sure.
Okay, Jimmy and Jimmy and Steve and John will go through the bids and we'll...
unless anybody else wants to as well. Probably. You want to, Scott?
I don't know that... I mean, I'm happy to help, but I don't know that when we... I mean, we do. We just have to warn it. I
just didn't want to not include you if you wanted to participate. That was all.
No, I won't feel left out, but I'm happy to help.
Why don't the two of you do it, and then you won't have to call a meeting.
Yeah.
We won't have to warn it and everything. And then if you feel we need a special meeting to get this thing on the road, to get things organized, then we can do that.
Okay.
And then, but they, you kind of got to analyze them. Okay. Call your driveway permit. You want to speak to that, Jim? You were there.
So I met with Dan perhaps there. Talked to him, and the existing driveway that they have right now, he's willing to give that one up and grass seed it in, do whatever to be able to have that one that's there, the one that they put in there not supposed to.
The new one is a lot better.
The only thing that we talked to him about was the water. He's got to make sure that the water that's coming down through can get to that culvert that's sitting in the middle of them too right now. And I told him he had to put a swale across the driveway or something to make sure that that water didn't run over there. So other than that...
So it doesn't pond on the lower side of the new road down in that ditch.
It has no water. Once the water gets down on the lower side of the new road there, it's a low area right there beside the road. It's just set there.
Yeah.
And he's going to widen it out a little bit more so they can swing, you know, either way. But I mean, personally, I would think it'd be a lot better.
Turning into there, coming from below, or turning to below is not safe. You end up having to back up and go up in there. So
then the restrictions here are going to be give up upper drive, grade road so water gets to culvert. And what was the third thing? You wanted that tip so that the water would not pond on the lower side of the road.
That's right. Good.
Okay, I need a motion as to giving him this permit.
Make a motion, give him a permit based on what's
there. I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Then he gets the permit. And we have, Cy isn't here. I emailed Frank if he was going to ask Cy to come, and he did not say anything, return my email, and that Cy isn't here, so I think we'll get rid of storm debris. I got an email from Chris Bump. There are new town road and bridge standards, and they should have been readopted on the 1st of September. I never received anything to say that we were supposed to do that. And these are the new 2019 codes and standards. There's a couple of things we have to answer yes to, and the rest we can answer no. And there's similar to what we adopted a couple of years ago. If we have a FEMA event,
and these standards aren't adopted, we're out of luck. So, do you want to vote to adopt these new standards?
I move that we adopt the most current road and bridge, town road and bridge standards as of June 20th, 2019.
It doesn't have to be until, oh, the standards, we don't have to adopt them until the 1st of September, so. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor of adopting the new town road and bridge standards for the state of Vermont, aye, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then I will send in the paperwork to Chris Funk regarding that. So we got that done.
I'll print it off. I'll print off the signature sheet.
That would be fine. We've also got there's a form there that's got to be filled out with some yeses and noes.
Yes.
And in the documentation, it also says which ones have to be filled out with the yeses. If you read that, did you?
I did. So I'll print this off.
So are you going to fill those out in the appropriate locations?
Yeah, I'll circulate it.
Thank you. Donation to... anything else here that's town highway related, so Jimmy doesn't have to stay here any longer if he doesn't want to?
Does he need to be part of the performance review? Was that?
We'll have to schedule that executive session to discuss do that with Jim. So.
Plus, he wants to be here for the roof and the boiler maintenance.
The only question that I have about the performance reviews is, what am I supposed to be using to do them?
Cindy is working on something for you in relation to the job description of the road crew workers, and this is only this review is only kind of a quarterly review.
Yeah,
so it's a verbal thing for you guys, you as well as for us.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be written down or anything, but just so that you touch base with the guys and kind of go through deficiencies if there are any, or praises if there are any.
Right. There's no form for this. All you really want to document is, I talked to so and so on this date. We talked about these subjects.
Okay.
And the only thing that you would really want to document in detail is if there's something
major.
Yeah. But otherwise, you really just want to say, just a brief summary of, we talked on this day, this is basically what we talked about.
All right. And do that quarterly.
Do that quarterly. But the annual one is the one that
we'll
have
you set
the one
you're doing annual reviews.
The roofing, Blackhawks got back to me. They will get the roof done.
Did we set a date when we're doing annual reviews? What time of year?
Quarterly would be October 1st.
Because Jimmy came.
Annual.
It would be 1 year from.
Okay, so then we have to do an annual review for Justin, because he's been here a year.
Has he been here?
He started, he started in October. So
he's coming up.
But we need to make sure that we do that in conjunction
with him. Well, that now is Jim's job.
Okay.
So, but we'll make sure that that happens as well.
He'll need the form
We'll get you some forms so that you can do an annual review on Justin, even though you've only dealt with him for 3 months. We'll get you some stuff.
What time do you open up down there?
They're at 6.
Is the place unlocked, or is there a drop box or something?
Back door is unlocked.
I'll
bring some to you tomorrow morning.
Just one.
You just need two, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That brings up an interesting thing, too. We should look into getting a drop box down there.
Yep.
Because like these guys, they all asked if there was. There was a delivery yesterday, and the office was closed. Something, mailbox or something that we can
For Harry, you mean?
For
no, for you.
Oh, yeah, well, like all the time, the guys are leaving their gravel slips and everything in the door, and you've got to open up the door and then gather them all up, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times, right? You just put a mailbox up front.
Yeah.
But we could do that.
There you go.
A mailbox around back with a lock on it.
Yeah, as long as we just check, we can reference, you know, direct them where to go. That'd be handy.
We can get that done. Okay, Blackhawks returned, went down and looked at it. They will fix the roof before the snow flies. They've got to put the roof back together. There's a little hole up top, and they're going to put on a new boot for your vent there. That's damaged. They'll do all that for $1,000. You told me I could get somebody to do it, and I emailed him back and said, go for it. And so I'm sure he'll get that done before fall. So we at least have got that taken care of. Donation for the FAST squad. Frank isn't here tonight. The FAST squad is in the process of getting a 501(c) status. Did he send that to all of you guys?
Yes.
The email? So we have to accept that donation for the FAST squad.
They just need to make the donation to the town for the FAST squad and the memo line. Basically.
That's right, but we have to accept a donation. Right. So I need a motion to accept this donation for the FAST squad.
Done it for many years for both the FAST squad and the fire department in the past, I believe. So
I need a motion to that effect. It's a $2,000 donation. And then we'll get it to the appropriate location in the books.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Actually, quick point. Do we know whether it was earmarked for anything, or is it just sort of a general donation?
It's for the FAST squad.
Right, but no specific purpose. It's just
Frank did not say, you know as much as I do if you got the email.
Yeah, I did. And we're voting on it with the assumption that it's not earmarked for anything. Because if it is, we have to handle it differently. So I just wanted to put that out there.
If indeed it is and we find that out,
yeah,
we can always
we'll
redo that.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Then we've accepted the donation. We received a grant, the passive grant, for the security system to be upgraded at the town garage to include a low temp alarm and fire alarm, things. And so we'll get that rolling if that's okay with the board. And so you have that lady's contact information in an email, right?
Yep.
Will you contact her
and
tell her to put it on her agenda to get them in?
Yep.
What she quoted, I think it was $900 and something.
Is that a passive one?
No, this is Royal Security that is going to do the work. The grant was a passive grant. Okay, so we did that. I had Cindy make some copies for you, and they should have been in front of. Did you leave them in front of each of the?
I did.
From Tom Leonard, John, my brother had him look at the situation over with the well, and thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
I didn't do the circles only because I'm still trying to understand that.
Well, I'm going to have to reread that to figure out where they've got to be circled as well.
Do you want to? just do that then, or you want me to keep trying to decipher this?
No, I will do it tomorrow, and then I will send this off.
Okay.
I've got to read that carefully.
All right.
But I know somewhere in there it did say what you should circle yes and what you couldn't, but
right.
I don't know those right offhand. Anyway, so back to Tom Leonard. He's looked at the system over there, and he looked at three options, and I don't know whether, I don't think he would do any of these, although he might change the services. He does not install generators. Did he say whether he would do the work on any of these?
He didn't say that he would. He didn't say that he wouldn't.
Anyway, so he kind of came up here as a consultant and charged us for the time that he figured out. He's an electrical engineer, and so he has charged us $210.
$210.
For the time that he spent to work out these things. I don't know whether you want to decide to do any of these right now. We don't have the money for that, but and we can live with it the way it is. But it gives us three options as to getting water to work when there's no power at over there. And so you can look at that and digest it, and maybe we can talk about it on the next agenda, Cindy, and yes. When it gets to be budget time. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you. You can sound really good.
Let me know if you want that road closed off next week, too.
I'll know more tomorrow, for sure, so thank you.
And then municipal planning grant. John, you had me put this on the agenda.
Yeah, we put a municipal planning grant in to help get some money to finish the zoning. We got turned down. The zoning is pretty much done. I think Ben Brickner is sending it out to the attorney to get his review in a day or so. And Two Rivers is going to take one more look at it, and then it's going to come back and it'll be on your desk or your plate to have your hearing. But we did get some notification that the municipal grant, there is a municipal grant due if we put one in on October the 1st. You guys don't meet again until after October 1st. Orson St. John has been suggesting a couple of areas that we might consider getting a grant for. We haven't decided anything as a board, and we probably won't decide until the last minute, and we may get it in, we may not. If we do decide to put it in, Emily needs to sign that as chair of the select board, and it would be a grant not to exceed $7,500, of which the town is responsible for $750. So it'd be nice if you could approve, if we decided to put something in, that you would approve not to exceed a 10% match of $750. I don't think the likelihood is very strong that we're going to put it in, but we're working on that. So I don't know the answer at this point.
So you just want authority for me to sign that document if indeed you get it ready to go and send it?
Correct.
So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of that?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we've got through that. Wonderful. Those were all the add-ons that we had. FEMA, I don't know why that was here.
Okay.
We did get FEMA money from the storm 2 years ago. That came in 2 or 3 weeks ago, I believe. Oil burner service. I asked Ellen to get all those burners serviced. I could be wrong.
I know you had were doing something with it. I don't recall.
I believe I asked her, but I will check.
And that was including the town hall as well, right?
They were going to do everything. I think the fire department has their own done. They call for their own, but we're responsible for these others.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I will ask Kevin. I'll write that down. The silo distillery permits, they were from 2 weeks ago.
Town hall.
Yeah, town. We jumped over town hall.
I'm sorry. Town hall deficiencies. How are we coming on those?
So we met, John and I met last week. We did the rental agreement is actually on our website, so we sent that the way, so that checked off one of the items. The other, followed up with Wade on 8 other items. None of them have been, well, the furnace was one of them. So that may either, that still needs to get done.
Still needs to get done.
But we, the heat, one of the issues, 3709, the heat tape, which should literally, I mean, seriously, be like a quick job for someone.
Do you get any response back to people?
We called Art McBreck that day, and I got a follow-up with Art, but Art said he can come check out the heat tape, and maybe check to see whether it's being used or not, and if it's not being used, he's comfortable taking it off. If it is being used, we probably should get a plumber to come and look at it, was his advice. So, but and also contacted John Syme, since he's already doing some work. These are other small jobs related to the hand railings, the 2 hand railings and the ramp. And so John's going to give the board a quote so that we can approve that. I need to follow up with John on that. And then on 3711, which is... on the no heat smoke detection currently within the town hall, we talked about it, and we thought because we're so close to the new year and the next passive grant cycle, and there are passive grants available for that kind of thing, that we would propose to the board that come January of 2020, we would apply for a passive grant to get some money for smoke detection. That being sort of the easiest solution, and we can go a couple more months. So that we packaged all this up and sent it to Wade, and he's okay with it. He was pleased that we're making progress. He said just let him know when it's all done. But he was okay with that update.
You'll have to get someone in to get you in order to, for that passive grant, we'll have to get someone in to give us a quote on what you want in there.
Okay.
You need a quote.
To do the grant?
To do the grant,
okay.
You need a quote. And at the same time, we ought to consider, whether that passive grant would do anything for us with a generator down at the town garage. At this point, there's no generator there. They did have at one point, and I don't know whether it's still there or not, a generator that would just run the fuel pumps.
Mm-hmm. There is a generator.
There is a generator.
It won't run the fuel pumps.
It won't run the fuel pumps.
It is big enough to run the fuel pumps, but there's no place in that garage to plug the generator into, and the fuel pumps are hardwired, and the only way to run it is to undo wiring.
Anyway, so we ought to probably, we're into another budget season, and I will look at that passive grant again as to what was entailed in that, but there are also generator grants for generators that we ought to look into that, because the passive grant, if you want to do anything, regardless if it's not, they come out twice a year, and they would like you to put everything that you want to ask for on that grant. So we could have asked for more stuff when I asked for the security stuff for the town garage. The problem being is we came into it so late we didn't have time to get any quotes. So we need to, if you're going to do that, you need to get some quotes, is all I'm saying.
Royal Security is who's doing the work down there, right?
Royal Security is doing the work down there.
So we ought to have them come give us a quote for the town hall.
I can do that. Do you want to keep working on that stuff together?
Sure.
Okay. That's great. You're coming along on that stuff. Great.
HR consultant contract?
So I circulated around to everybody a couple of weeks ago, so you all should have seen the contract that Teresa sent. It's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot to it, and it's pretty much what we talked about with her. So does anybody have any questions about it, or do you want me to explain it?
Where are you going to get the $4,700 or
$4,500?
Because the way I read that contract, we're going to get charged for all the 5 hours a month, whether we use it or not.
Right, but that also entitles us to use it, and we talked about needing it. So we already approved it. Do we need to do a budget check? I mean, are we...
Well, I just want to know where you're going to get the $4,500.
Well, we have a lot line item in the budget for professional services, and that's what we talked about paying it for.
Well, unfortunately, we've almost spent all of that in legal fees so far.
That's right, but we do have authority to overspend, and so...
Yeah. I'm asking. I just don't know what is she going to do that's going to take her 5 hours a month once she gets it squared away. I'm sorry.
I've had this conversation that we...
No, you gave us the contract at the end of the meeting, last meeting, and none of us have discussed that contract.
No, I understand that, but you're...
And so I'm asking, well, I did not realize that we were signing up for $4,500 of expenses. So I'm asking you, what is she going to do for 5 hours a month for us, and where is the $4,500 going to come from? That's a fair question.
It absolutely is, but we've already had this conversation.
No, we have not.
Yes, we have.
We did not put a dollar figure on her services other than $60 or $70 an hour, what she was charging.
We actually did, because we talked about 5 hours a month, not to exceed 5 hours a month.
What we're getting from that contract is, whether we use those services or not, we're signing up for $4,500.
So it rolls over. So if we don't use... So it keeps... The contract ends after a year. But if we don't use what she has promised us, and it's in the contract, is that if we can bank those hours and use them indefinitely, so we'll have those hours at our disposal.
The way I read that was we could bank those hours from month to month, but at the end of the year...
We don't lose them. We bank them. It's in the contract, and it's also what... Now, if you don't like that feature of the contract, and you just want to do a pay as needed, that's fine. You can go back to her. But this is how she's... I mean, this is... If we don't like this feature of the contract and we just want to do a pay as needed, pay as we go, that's fine too.
Which it is going to be more than $4,500, because there's also a fee in there for 55 cents a mile.
I understand that.
Which is all...
So the total... No. I understand that. But what I'm getting at is it's potentially more than $4,500.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'd like to know how the other two select board members feel about this.
I think they'll speak.
Contract.
Yes, and I would be more comfortable as page go, because I think, yeah, maybe the money will still be left, and if we don't renew the contract, we don't use all the hours, that will go away for sure. I don't know if she's going to charge more per hour if we do it that way. Not having done this before, I don't know how much we're going to need from her. I know initially, as we discussed, it would be more hours up front to get things where they need to be for the next going forward. Yeah, how is it going to be? Are we going to use 5 hours a month? Are we going to use two?
Well, we've had a lot of that. We've I'm happy to go back to her and convey to her that, that the board would prefer a pay as you go model. I'm happy to do that.
But she may not want that.
She may not. She may say that she may not like it, but that's fine. If that's the consensus, is that we want to do a pay as we go model, that, that's fine. You know, I guess the part that we need to get some general agreement around is we have a lot of, I mean, I think we have a lot of things that need doing, in, not only in terms of the assessment up front and kind of getting things in order, but, you know, we do have revisions of the personnel policy. We do have drug testing. We do have pay policies and getting who our employees are and all of that stuff lined up. All that takes time. And so there's, I guess what I'm saying is that there's plenty of things that she could really help us out on that we're actually, I'm sure will come out in an assessment, but that we've struggled for a couple of years to try and we haven't made any progress in. So I guess there are things for her to do that we would utilize those hours for. But again, if kind of the takeaway from the conversation is that the board's not comfortable with this model and wants to do a pay-as-you-go model, I'm happy to go back to her and say that. So is that the consensus? Is that what we're saying?
That would be my thought, was because we don't really know what our needs are and we don't know what her assessment is going to tell us. And I think that's a good start. I suppose we might need 20 hours a month, but we don't know that we're going into this completely blind at this point. And that's a fairly stiff figure when we have nothing in the budget for this item. And we've already taken our professional services and we aren't done with artistry yet, and those are pretty well gone already. And it's August, it's September. That's only 2 months into the budget season. Ona, you had a question?
Well, I was just wondering what Steve thought about this.
Yeah, it's uncharted waters, that's for sure. So it would be...
All right, well, let's not waste any more time on this tonight, then. It doesn't sound like he's going anywhere. So what do you guys want me to do? Do you want me to go back and tell her we're not cool with this model and we want to do a pay-as-you-go model?
Yeah, I guess you can see what her official
feelings are on that.
She may want this because
she wants some predictability. Yeah.
I understand it from her.
Yeah.
And what we described to her, this may be what she's feeling it's going to take too. So.
Well, she's trying to honor what we conveyed to her, which was
correct.
We did convey to her and we did talk about it at length that when we voted on doing this, that it was 5 hours was our projection. Up to 5 hours. So she modeled it based upon that. But again, I'm happy to go back to her and say, give us something that's a pay as you go model and see if she's okay with that.
I think that is that the board's consensus at this point?
I think it's a fair question to ask her at this point.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's go with that. Performance reviews that are due.
Don't miss Silo.
Excuse me?
Silo Distillery.
Those permits were from the last meeting, I believe. They sent something else?
I thought
you just sent two ones.
Are they in your packet?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they weren't here, but let's go back.
Friday, there were two.
Yeah.
Can you or Scott print them out?
Yeah.
Oh, Cindy's got them. Great. We have two permits for Silo Distillery. One for 10/4/19 at an art exhibit opening at Artistry, and one for 10/11 at Artistry, a musical concert.
Make a approve the two permits.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'll put those on Becky's desk. Okay. Performance reviews that are due. Would you like at the next meeting to schedule a brief chat with Jim on his 3 months anniversary? We are the ones that are responsible for doing his performance review. And if that is the case, when would you like that to begin? That should be an executive session.
6:30.
I think half an hour would be more than adequate. Do you have any feelings, Scott, on that?
Yeah, it sounds fine. We also, I think, I don't know when we hired him, but are we at 6 months yet?
Yeah. April.
April, June, July, August, September. Would you like to do yours then as well?
Sure.
Okay.
So I know Jim's will be responsible for doing the reviews of the other two guys down there, which I'm fine with. Just want to make sure that after he does them, that we as a board review them in executive session and not just be put into their personnel files.
These are not going to be written reviews.
Justin will be.
Okay, so I'm trying to coordinate the...
And even though technically, we'll be reviewing our, but even quarterly reviews, that Jim will be doing on the other two guys, however, are not technically written reviews. He needs to write a written synopsis of the conversation so that there is a written record of what was discussed, which I think we did talk about tonight.
Can I make a suggestion that we do an executive session for Jim before the meeting at 6:30 and do Cindy after the meeting?
Yep.
So that she doesn't and Jim doesn't, they don't have to hang around, so that, because Cindy will be here through the whole meeting anyway. We all.
Is that on our next meeting, which would be what, October 2?
Whatever the first Wednesday is, yes.
I don't have my calendar.
I can tell you in just a minute. October 2nd, yes. So we'll do Cindy after and Jim at 6:30.
Executive session.
Executive session before and then executive session after.
Okay. So at 6:30 and 9...
Yeah,
or whatever.
It probably depends on how bad it is. Okay, so are we all set with that then? And I will tell Jim that he's got to do an annual on Dustin. And that will have to be written.
Oh.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I have to look for the date that he was hired, but it was October sometime, if I remember, so...
Maintenance of select board records. Scott, you put this on?
Yeah, I did. It kind of goes with the conversation we had last time about SharePoint. And I think we probably have a lot of records out there that are right now either out on the web server or in email or other places. And I would suggest that we make a concerted effort, either as a group or individually, to get whatever records we each have and try and get them uploaded to SharePoint so that we start getting those records in the right place and getting
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think, you know, I sound like a broken record, but I think we have stuff strewn all over the place. And it's not something we're going to... We're not going to tackle it all at one time. It's sort of a bigger process. But I think if we can make a concerted effort just to do a couple of rounds of getting stuff either off our personal computers, off the email, off the web server, and get them into SharePoint so that we actually can get a sense of, you know, easier access for what are the select board's public records. I think that would be a good thing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What I put up on, you know, the meetings, regular meetings, goes up in PDF. Mm-hmm. Is that okay to put onto SharePoint, or does it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to go through and check the minutes that aren't there.
Yeah.
And Neil asked me a question this week. He asked me if the PDF for the truck went onto the website, and it, as far as I know, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And I discovered, he told me there was a purchasing page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I looked at, and there aren't any PDFs there since 2017.
Yeah, we stopped using it, yeah.
So do we want to update that too, or?
Yeah, I mean, when Jonathan left, you know, we just stopped using it, but we used to put all of our RFPs up there. And
well, I could put the ones that we've,
that would be great,
that we've had since I've been here.
Yeah.
I can, you know, filter those out and post them on the purchasing page.
And it's probably getting stale, right? Because you're really...
it goes back a ways.
Yeah, we'd probably take down some of the historical stuff. Yeah. And, you know, probably won't keep the newer stuff. But, yeah, I guess... I don't know how you guys want to handle it, but if you guys maybe individually just start uploading stuff to SharePoint or whatever, but that would be... It'd be good to start. We've got a pretty sizable gap in our electronic records keeping.
It's also important with these grants,
right,
that we expect to get reimbursement on, that we print out a paper copy and give all of the documentation that is needed to Ellen, because she accumulates and collates all of those bills. And so she needs a paper copy for her file.
Of the application?
Of the grant, not necessarily the application, okay, but of the grants that we have received.
Okay.
The state can come in and look at that stuff, and she has to have that in a file that they can come and find. And those things were lacking for a while. And I've been real careful to give her those grants that we've received that I've had anything to do with, but we want to make sure that we continue to do that so that she has that documentation on file, or we may get called on the carpet for that. Anything else on maintenance, Scott?
No, that was it.
Status of Financial Management Committee?
Yeah, so it sounds like things are coming close to getting done on that. The only, I guess the only thing I wanted to say on it is, We're gearing up for budget season, and I don't know how much of, having not seen any of this yet, I don't know how much of it has any impact on the budget season. But I just want to make sure that we've got, you know, this is our last meeting for September, so we'll be in budget mode here very soon. And I, whatever policies that the committee is working on that will have an impact on budget, like for example, when you did reserve fund policy, that we know what that policy is and we voted on it, approved it before we go into budget season, so we know what our policies are going to be guiding the budget. So it's more of a timing question to make sure that whatever we're going to get out of that committee is done and wrapped up, especially anything that has an impact on the budget, and get that done before we are too deep into the budget. So it sounds like, and Ellen didn't give any specifics, but it sounds like there's going to be a meeting scheduled soon for the committee to finalize everything. So I guess we'll just have to know when that meeting is so that we can get a sense of when we're going to, we as a board are going to get the drafts, and we're going to have some time in our meetings to go over these documents. So that'll take some time as well.
I was hoping to get Frank on board to start working on pulling up those budget worksheets. We've got to start on that. October is going to be our next meeting, and we really need to start working on those things pretty soon, so that we get that done in a timely fashion and get the library and the fire department and everything on board, so that we can get those things in and not be quite as late as and stressed as we were last year, which I thought was better than the year before, but it still needs a little improvement.
We want to send out something to them with the deadline, and we want the budgets back by so that we can.
I'll talk to Frank about it and see if he can pull up those worksheets like he did last year. And the worst one is going to be the highway and here, but and then give the library and those others a chance, and the cemetery.
Mine's easy.
I know.
I can have it to you tomorrow if you want. Or give me 5 minutes and I can do it right here, right now.
Don't give it to us. Don't give it to us yet. We'll just lose it.
We have two highway access applications, both for agricultural accesses, one for Bobby Harrington and one for this Terry Dorman. And I'll get Jimmy to make an appointment for both of them so that we can go and see those, anybody that wants to.
And those will be our next time's agenda?
Yep, Dorman and Harrington. Select Board correspondence. I've received nothing else.
I got some prices for the speed signs, depending on what you get there. About $25,000 to $3,000 for one that goes on a pole. You can get ones that are semi-movable, so you can move them from one to another. You can get ones on a cart. That would be with a solar panel. You can get ones with carts without a solar panel. Start at about $5,000? Yeah.
How nice. I think when we get to the budget, we'll deal with that. Yeah. We don't have any money right now
on
this one anyway. But let's keep those figures in mind.
Yep.
The other thing we've got to do is we did get that grant for the hydro seeder, and we'll have to get that clicking along. Jimmy's been looking at him, I think, but he's been busy with culverts.
How much is the grant for?
$6,000, I think.
At least get a decent one, not one of these 200-gallon poly tanks with a brake strap on.
If it was a Honda engine, it'd be all right.
Has anybody had any contact with Phil Decker to see where all that's on?
Phil is still working on that. I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, and he's still working on that. But. A legal easement to get to the repeater.
I remember.
Yes, I did touch base with him just a couple weeks ago. And also on next meeting's agenda should be John's emergency services thing. Kevin saw that in the minutes and asked what was going on, and he was unable to come to this meeting, and so I emailed John and said I too was going to take it off because Kevin couldn't be here, and I kind of usurped the authority. Uh-huh. But we put it on for the next meeting.
And Tom Leonard.
He did agree, even though I already taken it off.
Tom Leonard.
Yes. Anything? Any review of assignments? Agenda items for the next meeting? Yes, Ona.
I have one question. It's with your truck RFPs, do you guys have a certain number of people that you send those out to? Was one sent to Lucky's for a Peterbilt? Because we got three back, and so I'm just wondering, because Lucky's deals and Peterbilt, so I didn't know if you guys sent him one or...
Did not send one to Lucky's.
Okay.
I did get a notice on back on correspondence from Becky that they still haven't gotten, the state still hasn't gotten their salt price. So oh, maybe she sent it to all of you guys. And so, but there's nothing I guess we're going to do about that. Anything else? Then I need a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of that?
All right.
Any opposed? Hallelujah.